Well, the his big telco provider, he made an application to his big telco provider to get all of his metadata, which included his internet use, his mobile phone use, and that sort of thing. And then what he did, he said, okay, I'm going to throw it open and get people to try and guess what I've been doing from the metadata. And a lot of it was reasonably accurate. I mean, the story went on to track him to his parents' place in Tasmania, what phone calls he was making. There were correlations between the fact that his most called numbers weren't called at certain times, and then if you looked at the map, it was because he was actually with those people.
Yeah.
And a lot of conclusions were drawn, and inferences drawn about his activities just from the metadata that was collected.
But people worked out where he lived,
yep.
where he worked,
mm-hmm.
the route that he travelled to and from work yep. most days. He'd catch a ferry across Sydney mm. Harbour. When he went to Tasmania to visit his folks,
mm-hmm.
some people who analysed the metadata, and this is, dare I say, citizen science, but yep. this was yep. released to everyone mm. to just see what they could do with it. Some people actually managed to narrow it down to the particular flight yes. that he was on mm-hmm. a given day because of the flight times from yep. Sydney to Tasmania.
More difficult with international flights, but mm. Yeah, still possible.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, there are supplementary bits and pieces of information that you can pick up from different sources. I mean, that was only using the metadata from his telecommunications. But there is supplementary data that you can get from other places.
Such as?
Well, for instance, a friend of mine flew in just for a quick visit, and quite literally, I was able to track that flight second by second by an app called FlightAware.
Mm.
And so if you have a rough idea of where people are going, well, rough idea which airline they're using, you can actually track that flight second by second while as it's flying from and to wherever it's going to. There are a lot of, as I've shown you on my phone, I have my location data turned on my phone, and Google Maps keeps a record of everything that I've done in terms of where I go to. It then also hooks up the information about where I went, and it shows now that I'm at ABC, and at what time I was there. It tells me where my car is parked, you know, that sort of thing. It can tell that your car's stopped, and it's parked in a particular place and you've walked away from it, that sort of thing. All of that information then gets correlated to the photos that I've got in there as well. So if I do a search of my history of where I've been, it will say, oh, you took these pictures on these particular days as well at this location. So all of that is available. And that's very cool science.
Mm.
But that's the reason I encrypt my phone and I have a password on it, because that's my data. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's fine, but that data is actually stored in a cloud somewhere, and that's correct. And so I'm relying on Google and other organizations that collect that metadata to keep it safe. And I have to trust them that they will, because that sort of information can draw all sorts of inferences about, you know, nefarious activities or can draw wrong conclusions.
Yeah.
You know, if I walk past, you know, a strip club in Melbourne, and I happen to stop with my phone for a few minutes to take a call.
To make a text or something, yeah. So you just stop walking.
Does that mean I went into the strip club? You know, that sort of thing. And by the way, that's not illegal. But my wife, I'm sure, would want to know more about my activities, that sort of thing. So inferences can be drawn from that sort of thing. And this is exactly why metadata has become so important. This is what the authorities are telling us. This is why they want ISPs to store that metadata for 2 years, because they would like to go back through it and say, you know, we have an investigation going, we want to trace all of this stuff. That's a little bit scary. We understand why it's being done, but when you're a citizen on the streets, you start thinking about all of this stuff that's going around you that's invisible but is actually tracking your lives. And you do need to put it in context in terms of how you know about it. And how you protect yourself from it if you think that it's not a comfortable thing for you to do.
On your phone, when you've set that up,
mm-hmm.
do you go into your settings and say, keep all this information, or just by turning on your location, does it get kept?
If you turn on your location, the phone says, these are what the apps will do. In the Android world, every time you install an app, it will come up and saying, this app will do these things. And most of us just press the OK button, don't read it.
Mm.
If you take the time to read some of those things, you'll be surprised at how much data is being collected about you from those apps.
I actually rejected one the other day.
Mm. Yeah. And it is possible to turn location data off in the settings if you know where to drill down. The trouble is a lot of people either don't know or can't be bothered. And there is an assumption that, well, I haven't done anything wrong, so why should I worry about it?
Mm.
You should worry about it because of those inferences and because of those things that people can draw conclusions from, which may, in many cases, be wrong. And Will Ockenden's article indicated a number of things that they got wrong. They thought he was a party goer. In fact,
yep.
he wasn't. He was getting up early because he was a shift worker.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things.
Mm.
So
yeah, so the phone was active at sort of 4 o'clock in the morning, and
yeah.
people think, oh, well, he's been out all
yeah.
night and carrying on. Well, actually, no, that's when he's getting up for work.
That's right, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So the issue for us is very often, how useful is this metadata and what can be done with it? The authorities will have us believe that it is very important to their investigations. But at the same time, we will learn over time about how useful that is.
You wanted to raise information. We've talked metadata.
Yeah.
You want to talk, what is this sort of car metadata?
Well, there have been some really interesting stories, which in my view are an outstanding indictment of the car industry, where they are simply not taking electronic security seriously in their cars.
Mm.
And in fact, in one particular case of a large German manufacturer, they actually got lawyers in to suppress the information about the fact that their keyless entry system was being intercepted. And over the last few weeks, there's a chap that's developed a thing called, a little box called the Roll Jam. And the Roll Jam is a little device that sits there and listens to electronic keys. And at first go, what it does is it blocks the signal and actually absorbs it. So somebody tries to open their car, it won't open the first time. And then the second time it works. And the first time, what's happening is that the Roll Jam is actually recording the key credential.
The code, yeah.
Yeah. And potentially later on, somebody could open that car up. It gets a little worse than that from the point of view that there have been experiments done where cars have actually been hijacked electronically, you know, in terms of taking over.
There's one brand where someone could take over the steering, because it was drive-by-wire. It wasn't actually a physical...
That's right. Well, the steering was related... I think it was related to that you know, those really groovy little reverse parking things that cars can do. Well, it has to take over the steering for that. So all those sorts of things. There's also discussion about automatic tyre gauges that by wireless check your tyre pressures, and in some cases reflate or deflate your tyres. So there's all sorts of things that people are starting to say, well, we know all of this. It's not rocket science. But at the same time, all of this evidence that car manufacturers are not paying attention to the security of those systems is starting to come out, and I think it's a fair indictment of the industry at the moment that they need to sort of be looking at that. Ford has come out and said, look, we're pretty secure, but I notice there's a little bit of a silence from other organisations.
Is your car secure? Have you tried to hack it?
That's a really interesting question. I was out at the airport the other day, the Ballarat airport, and I couldn't get into my car. The radio frequencies, we're guessing that the radio frequencies coming off the planes and the radars and the navigation beacons had actually blocked the signal off. But of course, there could have been somebody in a car somewhere with a Roll Jam trying to record my thing. The car that I have is notorious for being overly difficult to crack. The security systems on them are to the point of being almost blindingly annoying, and a lot of them have been turned off. So I don't have a keypad that I need to punch in 15 seconds before I get in. I do have the keypad in there, but I've disabled it. It also checks the weight on the seat. So if, in fact, nobody is sitting on the seat, it goes into hijack mode and shuts everything down and sets the alarm off. I've toned that down. So my problem is the opposite, if you like.
Yeah.
But the concern here is that if all cars are going to be fly-by-wire and if they are going to have increasing electronic systems in them, then we should be looking at increased security about how those systems work. Simple as that.
Mm.
It's quite scary.
Has your car got a key for the door?
It does. I used it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because most of it's electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you use the key, the alarm goes off.
Mm. If you use the key, the alarm goes off.
So if I put the key in, I can get in, but then I've got to put it into the ignition and then turn the alarm off that way.
Really quickly?
Yep.
Okay. See, and by comparison, we have the same brand
of
car.
Yeah.
Mine has no electric locking, no electric windows. The ModCons extend to air conditioning and power steering. It's manual. They're both manuals. I don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
And I know how to get into it with a coat hanger.
It's actually very difficult, but same sort of thing. But it's you think you got all this extra security, and then
I think
it's just a different risk.
I think the problem right now is the change of attitude. It's like the Internet of Things. We started on a footing to say this is scary.
Mm.
I think the car manufacturers have probably been a bit lax. So it's really just about you know, toughen up, people, do the work.